And we presented these definitions at the beginning of the year to help us understand to declare. And most of us know what it means to declare. It doesn't just mean to just tell somebody. It means to make known. It means to kind of shout it out from the rooftops, to tell explicitly, to make sure that the people understand the message you're trying to get across, to manifest and communicate plainly to others. And what are we trying to manifest and communicate plainly to others? The magnificence and the great beauty and the splendor of God that can be seen in everything He does, especially in salvation and redemption. And the idea of this year, the theme for this year, is the thought that we want to make known and tell others explicitly and to manifest in our lives and communicate to others the beauty of God, the splendor of God, and who God is. You say, how can you do that? As we've seen some of the choir songs tonight and heard the choir songs, we've seen that in people's lives. I was talking to an individual this week, and another person's individual came up, and they says, man, I see the Lord in that person, the spirit that person has. And they were just giving witness and testimony about how that person acts. They see God working through their hearts and working through their lives and manifesting Himself in an individual's life. And here we're going to look at five different Bible characters. And we're going to go through them fairly quickly, but I think you're going to get the idea here. First one I want you to think about is Eunice. Eunice is the mother of Timothy, excuse me. I was going to try to call him Tiffany. I don't know why, but she was the mother of Timothy. And simply put, she declared His glory because she made known who God was and the teaching. And one of the ways we declare His glory is by simply telling others, by teaching others, by giving other people doctrine and helping them understand. I know the young people sang that song about the Trinity, and that's something that lots of people don't want to learn about. And sometimes it's one maybe the harder things to understand. But it says in 2 Timothy 1:5, what did Eunice do? It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And Paul is speaking to Timothy here. The book is written to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. If you take a look a couple pages over in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. She taught her son the truths about God. And he says, that you have known since a child. And I think that's an amazing thought, that the mother took the time to teach the child, as we heard in the song that the teen sang. Before I even understood, you were there to teach me of Jesus. You were there to teach me those things. And one of the ways we can declare His glory, we see in Eunice's life, is by teaching her faith to Timothy. Now, most of us know that Timothy's father is not mentioned in the Bible. His name isn't mentioned in the Bible. But we do know that he was a Greek, and more than likely he was an unbeliever, and that, you know, Timothy has a godly heritage from Lois and then Eunice, and you know what? It's passed down to him. And most of us knows, history tells us, he was a great pastor of the church of Ephesus, and how God used him in a mighty way. And Eunice declared the glory by simply teaching. And that's one of the basic ways that we can do this. One of the basic ways, and this I know is where I talk about mothers in the Bible, but one of the ways all of us can do this is by teaching others about our faith. Now I think about the next mother. It's Jochebed. And once again, another great story of the Bible. Most of us know Jochebed as Moses' mom, and how Jochebed lived out her faith. How she was willing to, didn't care what the Pharaoh said. Look what it said. He says, By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They lived out their faith by believing. They cared more about what God said than what the king said. And you think about the story. Who was the three children of Jochebed and her husband? It was Moses, Aaron, Miriam. All of them had spiritual impact. And I want you to understand, if we really truly want to declare His glory and make known to people and be explicit and make sure everybody understands what we're going for and communicate plainly to others the beauty of God and the splendor of God and the magnificence of God, we're going to have to live out our faith. And when I see in this story about Jochebed, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do what's right. It takes courage to take a stand for what you believe in and what you trust in. And I want to make sure that you understand we should take a stand on the Bible and take a stand on the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God and make sure that what we're taking a stand on is things that they know is right. And Jochebed knew it was wrong to give up her son. Jochebed knew that it would be wrong for her to just allow her son to be killed. And you think about it. They got the other children involved, like we talked about this morning about the widow. What did she do? And even Elisha got those boys involved, and they saw what was going through their mom. And you know, you think about Miriam went down there by the waterside and watched, and God spoke to Miriam's heart to go mention it to the Pharaoh's daughter. And you think about when they were hiding him for 3 months, that the other kids were probably involved in that, and they saw that and understood that. And I want you to understand, if we truly want to declare His glory, we have to live out our faith. It can't be just something that we teach. It must be something also that people see and they live out in their lives. And it's so important we get our children involved in that. Our children see our faith, and our children see we responding to faith. As Miriam saw that response, and she had the faith to go up to Pharaoh's daughter. Where did she learn that faith from? She learned that faith from watching her mother and her father that were part of this. And not, it wasn't just about the mom. The dad is there, and the dad's leading the family, and the dad's part of this. And but you see in this story here, they live out their faith, and their children see that. So it's not just teaching, it's living out your faith. Some of the ways we have to live out our faith is by sacrifice. One of my favorite mothers in the Bible is the story of Hannah. You say, why is that one of your favorites? It's because we've studied the book of 1 Samuel, and we've gotten a little bit in depth in 1 Samuel. If you like to take your Bibles, you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to look at other scriptures besides the ones that are on the screen, if you'd like to follow along. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you see this story. You know, Israel was in a very, very dark time in the nation. The nation of Israel was a very dark time. They were seeking and they needed a deliverer. They needed someone who was going to be a man of God. They needed someone who was going to live for God amongst more than anything else, because as we see in chapter number 3, how it talks about there was no open vision. God wasn't speaking to anyone because there was not really a spiritual man that he could openly speak to. And Hannah sees this, and Hannah knows this, and Hannah is without a child, and she pours her heart out to God, making a promise to God that if he would give her a child, she would give him back. And Hannah declares his glory by being willing to make a sacrifice. You think about this, this woman pours out her heart looking for her child and asking for a child. God delivers her this child, and then she goes after he is at a certain age and takes him back at a young age, takes him back to the temple. The Bible tells us in the story that yearly she would go and bring a coat to them when they came times to sacrifice. And every time she had to leave him over and over and over, year after year after year after year, it was a sacrifice that she was making. And what was she doing there? She was declaring to Samuel that there are some things that are worth sacrificing for. There are some vows that are worth keeping. Look what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. This is Hannah speaking to Eli, the high priest, and she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. I couldn't imagine just leaving my child somewhere at a young age. But this was a sacrifice. This was a promise that God had made. And she's teaching him something. It's worth sacrificing for. Our relationship with God is worth keeping our vows to. If you look in chapter number 2 and verses 18, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee the seed of this woman for the loan which she has lent to the Lord.' And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." When we saw this morning is that God responds to people's faith. God responded to Jochebed's faith by allowing her to keep that child safe. God responded to Eunice's faith by allowing a godly child to be brought up and be able to use as a pastor. And we see God responds to the faith of Hannah and Elkanah here because of the fact that they were faithful in keeping that vow. There's a lot of things that we can do to declare the glory of God. And one of the things is sacrificing and paying back the vows that we've made. I know I've made this statement before, but I remember, and it stuck with me, the preacher said we could truly have revival if every Christian would just do what he has promised God he would do. If every Christian would just go back and do everything he has promised God. And many times when we hear messages preach and we hear sermons preach and we, God convicts our hearts and say, God, I'm going to give this up, or God, I'm going to start doing this, or I'm going to stop doing that, or God, I'm going to start being more faithful. If we would just do what God had told us to do, with the things that we said we would do, we would then have true revival in our hearts. How did she declare the glory of God? She sacrificed. She gave even of her only son. Next thing, another mother that is mentioned in declaring the glory of God, and it's Mary. I know that many times, the Catholic faith and other people have made Mary into a god, which is not right. But we see, and you can't get past in this story, that Mary declares the glory of God by submitting to his will. And you say, well, she wasn't even a mother at that point. Well, I think in this story, you can see the heart of her. And even throughout the stories, if you go and listen to the different spots where Mary is, she is submissive at the wedding at Cana. She is submissive with her other kids when she's listening. She's submissive at the cross by going with John. She's submissive to go to Bethlehem. In all those different things, I think she was a submissive lady. But we see it no more greater than when the angel came and told Mary that you were going to conceive. Remember these verses. Then said Mary unto the angel, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? She's confused. She doesn't understand how this is going to happen. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And this next phrase, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The angel reminds her that God is able to do all things, and she reminded of this, and she says, okay, Lord. And she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She was submissive. She declared the glory to God, the glory of God in her life and to her children that came in behind, because she heard the testimony and they seen the life that she went through, and they experienced this together. Can you imagine being Jesus' brother or Jesus' sister, and the questioning, and even talks about how some of his brothers didn't even become a knowledge of him, didn't believe in him until the day he had rose from the dead, and they questioned who he was. Mary here, she was submissive. If we truly want to declare his glory, it begins by sharing our faith with others, but living our faith out, and then by sacrificing, but also by him being submissive. This last one is probably one of my favorites in the Bible, and it's this lady named Elizabeth. Say, Elizabeth was older. She wasn't even probably around very long for John the Baptist, because they said she was well stricken in age, and I'm not sure when Elizabeth passed away. But I think about one of the greatest ways we can declare our glory is by having a testimony that declares their glory too. We look around the room, there isn't probably a lot of us that still have moms here today. But I know there's many of you that have moms that have a testimony that still carry on in your life today. That still says, you know, my mom was a godly lady. My mom influenced me. I saw God in my mom's life. And in the story of Elizabeth, they give one of the greatest testimonies of her and her husband. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And so we see this couple, this husband and this wife, and they were both righteous before God. And this is the testimony of both of them. Walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. I think that's amazing. It says, not some, but all the commandments. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were now well stricken in years. They had this fantastic testimony despite the fact that God never answered their prayer of wanting a child. To me, that's fantastic. They were still serving God even though they did not get what they desired. A testimony is huge. It's something that can carry over for years, and even if Elizabeth did die before John the Baptist, or even maybe as a child, I don't really know, but I know that this testimony of her and of his father is something that they could carry along with them, that they still serve God, even when it didn't seem like things were going their ways. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and a loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. It's something that can carry on and to continue to declare the glory of God even when you are gone and no longer here. Your testimony is something that can carry on and carry on and carry on. Be careful of your testimony. Have a testimony that declares her faith and declares her faith and declares the glory of God. How do you do that? It's by teaching others. By being willing to live out your faith, and by being willing to sacrifice, and by being willing to submit. We heard Mr. Sawyer yesterday, and Mr. Sawyer's testimonies of Mr. Sawyer. And I got to, you know, from the last few weeks when it looked like times were getting close to the end, people began talking about the stories of Mr. Sawyer. His testimony is something that will carry on with his children and grandchildren forever. And even when our mothers are not here. I know Mother's Day is tough for some people. I know some people's moms are gone. I know some people are not able to have children. And I know that some people have a strange relationship with their mothers. I know sometimes it's not. Everyone has a mother, though. And we can all leave an impact and a testimony. I remember, I know you say, you talk about your mom. Yeah, cool. Well, I'm the one talking, so I'm not trying to make it seem like she's perfect, because she's not. But her testimony over the years of me growing up was something that was special to me. Pastor Thompson told me once, and if you know Pastor Barry won Pastor Thompson to the Lord, and Pastor Thompson was here for 10 years. Pastor Barry was my pastor for 30 years, the man who won Pastor Thompson to the Lord and was at Church of Avon in Indiana. And when I was coming here to candidate, obviously Pastor Thompson knew Pastor Barry, and I was the kid there. And he called up Pastor Barry, and they talked, and he said that Pastor Barry said this about my mom. He said that my mom was one of the most godly women that he ever knew. And I didn't know that he felt that way, but it was my pastor for those 30 years felt that way about my mom. And my mom went through a lot over years, and you know, dealing with my brother, dealing with other issues that we don't need to get into. But that testimony is something that will carry on with me forever, because she was someone who declared her faith to me. Now, was I easy growing up? I wasn't. You can ask her. I was a smart aleck brat, and I had a lot of different things I needed to learn and grow through. And she'll tell you I wasn't that bad, but I remember some things about my childhood that I wish I could take back. But her testimony continues to live on today. And I've heard your stories. I've heard your stories of your fathers. And I've heard your stories of your mothers. I've heard the stories of your wives. I've heard the stories of the husbands. I've heard the story of even how different people have influenced you and how different people have done certain things. And I want to encourage you to declare the glory of God by teaching others, by being willing to live out your faith, by willingly sacrificing and submitting to God, so you can have a testimony that will declare his glory. Declare the glory of your faith. It's about God. It's about what God can do. But if we give ourselves to him, our testimony will leave on too. I'm wondering, in our lives, what will people say about us? 50 years from now, 100 years from now, who knows if they're going to be here or not. And we don't live for people. We don't. But we do live so people can see God in us, so we can help bring people to Christ. We try to be a light. We try to demonstrate different things that will communicate clearly that we believe in God. And we want our life to declare his glory. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. Declare his glory. It begins with teaching.